A class is divided into like two halves, or at least when I'm teaching, I do two halves. I like to do this one segment called Bible Basics because I'm scared of Bible illiteracy. And so I'm trying to reinforce just like normal or like general basic principles of how to read the Bible, what the Bible is. And so let's just recap really quickly. The Bible is a book. I told you that the Bible is broken into the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's different genres of literature that you can see there. And then you can see that even in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was stuff going on there. It's not like history just stopped, but you can see that there was stuff happening in there. Really, what I want to talk about, or what I like to talk about, is the fact that the Roman Empire needs to raise up, and the cross had to be ready for Jesus to come on the scene and be crucified for our sins. And you're supposed to read the Bible. It's not just meant to sit on your shelf. That was our first lesson. Our second lesson was a little bit more intense. I talked about the canonization of the Bible, meaning that the books of the Bible, it's not like the Bible was all given to us in one big book. No, it had to be kind of collected and compiled over time. Now, it did happen rather quickly, because by the time Jesus was already on the scene, the Old Testament was pretty much already there. And so after Jesus lived his life and everything, that's when they started finalizing in the early church the New Testament. You can actually like gauge whether a book belongs in the Bible by looking at its divine qualities and also with its corporate reception. Meaning that it's accepted by the church as belonging in there. Now, we do believe in God's overall sovereignty over the Bible, and so we can be confident that what the church has deemed to be discerned has been already determined by God, and that's what we put up here. The Bible is determined by God overall because we believe in his sovereignty, but as men, we do need to discern what belongs in the canon. Now, I like to give the example of, I could write like a book and say, oh, this book belongs in the Bible. Church, accept it. But as the church should be able to say no. Oh, hello. The church should be able to say that the canon is closed and we're not going to be accepting any more books. You came last week, right? Mm-hmm. You came last week. You're the new student. What was your name again?
Meow.
Meow, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes, right. Sorry. Okay, welcome again. The way that I like to think of like what's like truly legitimate is this point right here, the authoritative authors. Okay, and so the books of the Bible, they're basically claimed to be written by prophets and apostles, or received directly from the apostles, like the book of Hebrews, meaning there needs to be a direct connection between the apostles or with Jesus. That's like one easier way to assess like whether the book belongs or not. Okay, the next lesson that I gave you is that the Bible is a story, meaning that there's a single unified message in the entire Bible. Even though we have different books in the Bible, they're all telling like a similar story, or they're all pointing to Jesus, leading us to God. The Bible is broken up into a big plot movement of creation, fall, redemption, and new creation. That gives us the main message of the Bible. Another way to think of how the Bible is written is to think about the different covenants that God gives. Covenants are God's promises to God's people, starting with Adam, meaning that like, hey, you know, if you listen and obey, if you don't sin, then you can live forever with me. But then Adam sinned, and then, you know, goes on to different covenants. God's giving different promises to his people, ultimately culminating in Jesus, which is the new covenant of grace. The Old and New Testament are connected in history. They're not like totally separate, but it's all part of being the story of the Bible. And then you need to remember to take the Bible in context, okay? Meaning that like, you know, something that was written in the Old Testament period, you have to remember that was before Jesus. And then when you go to the New Testament, you have to say, okay, Jesus is already on the scene over here. How does that change my interpretation, or how does that help me understand the Bible better? But you don't want to get like lost in all of that. You still want to remember that there is a big overall structure to the Bible and who Jesus is. Now, Claire, this is our Bible basic lesson for today. And this one gets a little bit nerdy, I think. And the lesson that I want to teach you today is that the Bible is theology. The Bible is theology. Now, that sounds weird, right? Okay. Theology just means the study of God. Okay, or like, you know, learning about God. And so what I mean when I say the Bible is theology is that the Bible does help us understand God. Now, as Christians, we actually believe the Bible doesn't just help us understand God, but the Bible actually helps us know God, meaning we can have a personal relationship with God through the Bible. That's weird to talk about because the Bible is like a book, right? So if you have just like a normal book, right, it's weird for you to say that like, oh, I have a relationship with the author, because sometimes that author might be dead or the author doesn't really know who you are. But you can understand what we're saying, right? If you have a written piece of work, you can sort of say, yeah, you're reading this person's thoughts. They're getting into your mind. You might be like wrestling with it or working through the ideas that they're giving to you. With the Bible, that's also true. But on a deeper level, we actually believe God continues to speak to us through it. It's not just like a one and done, but it's that God actually continues to work through his word in our lives. And so when I'm talking about theology, I'm not just talking about like, yeah, you learn about God and it's just all in your head. I am talking about like, no, you're learning about God, but you're continuing to study and learn about God. This is a weird example, right? But when you get married, yeah, I already know who my wife is. I know like what she likes, what she doesn't like, how she acts and everything. But she's a person. She changes. And our relationship changes too. And so that's sort of what I mean when I'm saying like, yeah, we study God, we try to know God, but ultimately it is based on that relationship aspect, right? Now, God doesn't change, but we change. And we need to be able to see how God continues to work in our lives through his word. So that's really what I'm saying when I say the Bible is theology. There's a lot there. That's what I'm saying. Now, first one, okay? There's a study of theology called systematic theology. You might have heard this before. This is a way to understand the Bible. And let's just read this. Systematic theology is the attempt to put Christian doctrine in a logical order, often starting from one fundamental principle, an approach that goes all the way back to early Christianity. So, systematic theology is looking at the Bible and saying, okay, there's a lot in here, right? Like, how do you take the entire Bible and make logical sense of it? The way you do that is by reading the entire Bible and then making propositions about it and saying that, like, okay, if God is, then this, you know, then he must be holy. If God is holy, then what does that say about us as mankind, that we're not holy? So it's like that. Okay, you start with a very fundamental principle, normally, that is like God just is. Now, you can see how that's already different from the world, right? Because sometimes the world will say, no, there is no God. The Bible presents us a God, and from there, there's a lot of information or facts that flow from that. Okay, so that's what systematic theology is. It's looking at the Bible in a systematic way, kind of piecing it together from facts that we have in the Bible. Let me give you an example. Okay, let me just show you this example. This is a book. This is one of the newer books on systematic theology. Now, it's written by this man named John Frame. He's pretty famous. He wrote a very big book, okay? A very big book on systematic theology. This is a new one, but it's concise, so it makes it very small and packed together. So there are people who will try to take the entire Bible and put it into like stuff that you can just read about. Like, this is who God is based on what the Bible says. And when you do that, it does introduce you to the basic principles of Christianity. That's how people learn. Now, this is the table of contents for this book. And I think this is a great way for you to kind of understand what I'm talking about when it takes the Bible and it breaks it down into components. Notice, the first one is the doctrine of God, right? And that's what I was saying. If you believe that God is, then what does that mean? It talks about God being the Lord, who and what he does, and the concept of the Trinity. So in this type of theology, systematic theology, you can actually try to put together who is the Trinity, how does he appear in the Bible, the entire thing. It keeps going on, right? It talks about the Word of God, the Bible, It talks about just theology in general. And then it goes here, the doctrine of man. Remember I said, if God is holy, then what does that mean about man? Right? And so you're the people who write these types of theologies, they're asking questions and getting the answers from the Bible. They talk about sin. And then they'll also talk about different theological aspects, like the covenants. Here's election, faith, repentance, justification, adoption. So these are some themes that appear. They put this under the Holy Spirit, but, you know, I think that's fine. And then a lot of times, too, after talking about God, they'll go into other things like the church. What does the Bible tell us about the church as a whole? So systematic theology attempts to tell us not just about God, but also God's relationship to us. And that's where you see the church coming in here. And then a lot of systematic theologies will put like end times type of stuff, talking about heaven and hell, the last days. And then for practical stuff, it's sort of like, okay, now that we have all this, how does that affect our living? Okay, so you can see how this is all very, very like knowledge type of stuff, right? What does the Bible tell us? What are the facts? They put it into a book, and then like, what are you supposed to do with that? So that's systematic theology. When I was in college, I read one of my first systematic theology books cover to cover. And for me, that was pretty mind-blowing because you're just taking in a lot of information. So this stuff is normally for like, you know, seminary students and stuff, but you can do it too. Like, you don't have to be intimidated by reading big, heady books about the Bible or about God. I encourage you to do it. And this is a good one to look at if you're interested. So this is called systematic theology. Let me tell you the next type of theology that I want to introduce you to, and that's biblical theology. Biblical theology. Biblical theology is the discipline of affirming the theological unity of the Old and New Testaments, and attempts to explain how this remarkable anthology of religious texts conveys a unified theological message. Let me explain that to you now. The Bible is a big book, right? And while this looks at like the facts of the Bible and the different propositions that it will put forward, this looks at the big themes of the Bible. That's how I like to think about biblical theology. It looks at the big themes of the Bible, and it traces it from the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament, and even to how that would affect us today. Different themes. Now, that requires also a different understanding of the Bible. Let me show you this book now. Okay, this is one type of book. You can see it's pretty big. This is a really good one. It's also new. And this book will look at the different themes in the Bible, but also the different ethics that will come in. So biblical theology takes on a lot of different components into it. Let me show you this series. Okay, this is a series of books now, and this will break up the different themes in the Bible into different books. So let me just show you. Like this one right here, this one is a biblical theology of the people of God. So it will go like, okay, from Adam, that's God's people, and then to Israel, right? How does that theme get traced throughout the Bible? And then it goes, oh, well, then the church was there, right? And so that's tracing the theme of God's people from Adam all the way to the church age. Let me give you another example. This one might be better right here. A biblical theology of the temple. Okay, let me tell you that one. So this one's called God Dwells Among Us, and it's a biblical theology of the temple. So you know that in the Old Testament times, Adam and Eve, they didn't have a physical temple to go to, right? But their temple could be considered to be the garden. Like, the garden was their temple. That's where they communed with God. And then as the Bible develops, you see that the temple actually becomes like the tabernacle, a tent that God's people would move around with. And then you see that, oh, and then David built the temple. He actually built a physical place for God's people to come and worship. And then in the New Testament, Jesus says, actually, there is going to be no more physical temple. The temple is now me. People are going to come to me, Jesus, and that's how you will worship and relate to God. So you see how that theme got traced all the way through the Bible. And then you could take it even further, right? Because in heaven, now, Jesus, is the temple, but then heaven is like all God's people together. So heaven becomes kind of a a temple there too. And so those themes get traced throughout the Bible. This, I think, is a little bit even more nerdier than systematic theology, because you need to kind of read a little bit deeper, I think, in order to get these types of themes. But I think when you understand the Bible on that thematic level, it helps you kind of understand how God thinks, right? Like, you can see that, like, God planned out all of history to make these things come to life. One of my favorite, themes in biblical theology would be, the Lamb of God. Okay, that's like one of my favorite biblical theology themes. And you think, like, okay, in the Old Testament, there was no need for a sacrifice, right? Because Adam and Eve, they were in communion with God. But once Adam and Eve sinned, there had to be some sort of consequence, right? God said, okay, you're going to be kicked out of the garden, but I'm going to make you clothes, right? I'm going to clothe you now. And then, whoa, how did God make the clothes? What did he do with that? How did he cover them in order to cover their sin? And then you go into the more Israel period of time, and then God started instating things like Passover, where they had to kill the lamb and put the blood on their doorpost so that God would pass over them during the Exodus, that type of stuff. And then you go into the temple times, where they had a sacrificial system in place, where lambs and stuff did need to be shed for the cleansing of the sins. And then finally you get to Jesus, and John the Baptist is saying, hey, behold the Lamb of God, right? So you have that theme of sacrifice and lambs, and then you finally get to Jesus and say, oh, he is the Lamb of God, right? And then you get to heaven, and in heaven, Jesus is still called the Lamb of God, and that's who we worship. In heaven, Jesus is more like the lion and the lamb, I guess, but he still retains that lambship, and so we're always going to be people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, or Jesus. So, you know, themes that come up in the Bible, it's incredible. It's mind-blowing sometimes, like, what God does with that. And that's all in service to theology, right? To help us know who God is better. But it also not only helps us know him better, but then, you know, we end up worshiping him from that, because God is incredible, you know? And let me just give you this right here. All of this talk of theology, it helps make sense of the Bible as a whole, okay? And then I put here, with devotional teaching and preaching applications. And why I put that there, because I wanted you to see that, like, it's not just knowledge. Devotionally, you can look at systematic theology and biblical theology, and your heart can say, okay, God, you have obviously presented yourself in this certain way. I want to know you in this certain way. God, you've presented yourself as a father. I want to know you as father. Jesus, you've presented yourself as being the Lamb of God who takes away sin. I want to know you as that. I want to be sure that your blood covers me and that my sin is taken away. Teaching-wise, obviously, I can come up in class and I can teach you. I think that for Christians, it's good that we can know God on that deeper level, right? It's good to say, yeah, I know God exists and everything. Well, what about God? What do you know about God? You should be able to say certain things about him. Oh, I know that God is three in one. I know that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I know that God is in heaven, but in a sense, Jesus is also in my heart too. Yeah, and the Holy Spirit helps me live a life for him. You know, so you should be able to teach people about these things, so that way when they ask you, you can have a coherent answer to them. And then finally, I put preaching applications right here, because as you're preparing sermons, as we're teaching the church in whole, right, we teach from the Bible, right? And so I believe that the preacher, teacher, expositor should be able to draw those things out of the text to teach God's people, so that they're fed and that they can be led to worship God. You know, it's not just like, oh yeah, the Bible's so easy, whatever. No, there's a bunch of stuff to learn. And the deeper you go, you know, the more you learn about God, and God is inexhaustible, right? We'll always have new things to learn about him. And so hopefully this is a way to help you see that, like, it's more than just reading, but you can put it together in your mind and on paper and presenting wise so that people can have a better relationship with God. All right? So that's our lesson today for Bible Basics, the Bible is Theology.